All right, so we're beginning Masechta Cholin now. Masechta Cholin, to give it a nutshell, talks about the dinim of animal products, I guess you could say the dinim of animal products that apply to Cholin. Many of them apply to Kodshim as well, but all of them apply to Cholin to varying degrees, as we'll learn in our Masechta. So many of them apply to Kodshim as well, which is why it's in Seder Kodshim. So Shechita, which is going to be the subject of most of the first two Prakim, Shafis, which is the subject of most of the third parak, Yidanoshe, Bosu B'cholov, later on we're going to have things like, Reishis Agez and Shaloh HaKan. So most of these things apply to Cholin as well as to Kodshim. There are some of them, for example, we're going to get to Zroi L'Chayai B'Keva near the end of the Masechta that don't apply to Kodshim, but most of them apply equally to Cholin and Kodshim, but that's why the Masechta is called Cholin, because these things apply to Cholin. All of them apply to Cholin, most of them apply to Kodshim, and not quite all of them. Two other things to mention in that connection are, first of all, a lot of the Rishonim nicknames Masechta, instead of calling it Cholin, they called it Shchitas Cholin. So we've had that the Gemara itself sometimes called Zvachim, Shchitas Kodshim. So therefore, it makes a nice contrast. Shchitas Kodshim, the dinim of Zvachim, versus Shchitas Cholin, which is our Masechta. The Bnei Yisachar brings an idea that a deeper reason for it is because the Rishonim didn't want to imply that any part of Torah is Cholin, that any part of Torah is mundane. So therefore, they gave it the name, therefore they gave it the nickname Shchitas Cholin. Another thing to mention, by the way, as far as topics in our Masechta, as is typical of a Masechta in Shas, the topics are many and varied, as we'll go through and we'll see. It's almost like every Perek or every two Prakim in our Masechta are almost going to be, in a way, like a different Masechta, because each one deals with a different topic. The first two are about Shchita, the third one about Shchita. Each one is a pretty much self-contained unit, in other words. Each chapter, or the first two chapters are kind of together, but are kind of a self-contained unit. They discuss one area of halacha that relates to animals and food and whatever, and it's only in that parak and not really in the rest of the masechta anywhere. One other thing worth mentioning, by the way, is one big din with food that's going to be dealt with a number of places in our masechta, which we don't deal with much nowadays, is the din of Tumah V'Tahara, because food can be Makabel Tumah. But we're already going to have today on Beis on the Beis, but we're going to have larger studios later on in Lamed, and in particular the ninth parak is going to be a lot about Tumas Erchlin. That parak in particular is almost like a Gemara on various parts of Seder Taurus, which most of Seder Taurus doesn't have Gemara. But when we get to it in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, then we'll have to keep our wits about us, because it's going to be Tumah V'Tahara stuff. Okay. So with that said, let's start. Mishnah says, Hakol Shechtin, anybody can shecht. And Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, whenever a Mishnah starts off, Hakol can do such and such, it means it's including somebody who you might have thought might not be able to do it, but nevertheless, the halacha is actually they can. We'll see as we go through who that's referring to. Rashi brings a couple of them. The Gemara is going to bring, we'll learn tomorrow and the next day, that's to share them a couple of possibilities. One of them is that means that a Tomei person is allowed to shecht Cholin. Another one is that a Kursi or a Mumer is allowed to shecht. We're going to see if there's a couple of other possibilities of who Hakol includes. Or Shechitas and Kshera, the Shechita is kosher. Chutz mecheres shoyt of a cotton, except for a cheres shoyt of a cotton, the famous trio that are throughout Shas, because they don't have das, therefore shemi yekalkulu es shchitasan, they might mess up the shchita. We're going to learn as we go through the Masechta, as we go through this in the next parak, we're going to learn there are five basic things that might be done during the shchita that would possible it. Shehiya, chalada, etc. A goy, we'll get to a goy afterwards. We're talking about among Jews first. But yes, we're going to get to goy actually in the second parak. But yeah. But the point is, even if you have a person who's otherwise kosher to shecht, there's any one of five things that they could do during the shechita that would possible it, which we'll learn in great detail this in the next parak all about them. So therefore, the problem is, if cheres shoyt v'katan don't have das, they might make these kinds of mistakes, and therefore the shechita might be possible.
What about that, sir?
One second, I'll tell you what Chosef says about that, but hold on. So Cheres Shoyt V'Katan are not Shemi Kalkulos Shchitasan, because they might mess up the Shchita. V'chulon sheshasu. However, if any of these shecht, now we're going to see in the Gemara, does these refer only to the cheder shart of a cotton, or does it refer to somebody else also? We'll see. If they shecht, v'acherin, roin oisan, and there are other people, there are Jews who are bnei das watching them, to make sure that the shechita was kosher, that they didn't do any of these five things or whatever, then shechitas and cheder, then the shechita is kosher, because then we can see that that nothing went wrong.
How about a goy?
So a goy, I just said, we're going to talk about in the second parak. We're going to talk about shechitas goy. Now, you're asking about women. Now, our Mishnah doesn't mention, so it would imply that women are kosher to shech. Tosfos brings that you have something called Hilchus Eretz Yisrael that says that women shouldn't shech because daitan kalas. Daitan kalas either means they may not pay attention to the details of that you have to shech through most of the pipes instead of only half of them, as we're going to learn as we go. Daitan kalas might also be that they're more queasy and they might more easily faint at the sight of the blood or whatever. Anyway, this Hilchus Eretz Yisrael is an interesting thing. We talked about it at least one time before, I think. It's something from Eldad Hadani. Eldad Hadani is a fellow who showed up in the middle of the time of the Goyim. He showed up in the city of Kairouan in North Africa, which in those days was a big important Jewish community, claiming that he's from the Esther Tashvatim and telling all kinds of stories about how they live over there and how they have a Masoda going all the way back to Moshe and Yeshua very, very clearly, and how they live behind the river Sambatia and so on and so forth. Anyway, Akitzer, he came with certain halachas that people hadn't heard of before. One of them being these. Another one he said is that a person shech without a bracha, the shechita is possible, and a couple of others. So the Jews of Kairouan, the Chachamim of Kairouan, wrote to the Goyim in Babel. They wrote to the Tzemach Goyim in Babel, asking, so what's the story? Is this guy, do we accept this guy? Is he genuine? Is he a faker? What about these strange halachas of his, etc.? Anyway, Reb Tzemach replies to them, basically, okay, listen, you know, his story is, okay, listen, he came a long way, maybe you don't necessarily have to take everything that he says to the bank, the gist of it might be true, but not necessarily all the fine details. As far as his halachas, okay, you know, I mean, we've never heard of these halachas before, okay, it's very possible that there's a community of Jews over there who have these assertives. Don't say automatically he's a karoi or something like that, but, you know, we have to evaluate these halachas on a case-by-case basis. So some of them are accepted by the poskim, some are not. Generally, it's corporate. But most of them have to do with shechita. So his name is Eldad Hadani, because he claimed to be from Shevet Don. He claimed to be from Shevet Don. Anyway, so one of them was this that we're saying, that women are possible to shechita. Another one was also in Hilchos Shechita, that a person shechs without a bracha, then the shechita is possible. There were a couple of other ones, I think. Most of them had to do with Hilchos Shechita. I think another one was that a shechita has a tovel on the mikveh before he shechs. There were a couple, and then there were a couple of other miscellaneous ones having to do with other areas of halacha. Anyway, so some of them are accepted by the poskim as chumras. They're not technically, for example, the one about a bracha, okay, if a person shechs without a bracha, the shechita is kosher. That's maybe like a chil of the shechita himself, or maybe the shechita himself, we would come to him and he wouldn't eat from it, whatever. Anyway, so over here, as far as women, the Tosfos disagrees with this idea. Yeah, Gemara that imply that women are kosher to shech. With that said, though, this is another one where the post can say, okay, you know, in principle, maybe Tosfos is right. Technically, maybe women can shech. However, over time, the minhag has developed, that Amal says in the first siman of Yeridea, that the minhag has developed over time that women shech, and therefore, v'ein l'shanes. That's it. That itself creates a precedent that women do not shech.
Over time,
it's developed that women didn't shech, and therefore, they... Right.
Do you have any example of a woman who did a shechita?
Well, you have it, well, I don't know, in the Torah, but you have actually, they asked about, and in Shmuel Aleph, you have the whole story of Shoal visiting the Baal of Oiv over there to bring up the spirit of Shoal, and of Shmuel, and afterwards you have at the end, Shoal faints from hearing the news that he's going to be killed in battle tomorrow, et cetera, and she's all alarmed and says, I gotta give you some food, and she says, she shechted an animal and gave him food. So, the Pashtus, that would seem to imply that women can chef, but okay, maybe an answer is maybe she gave it to them to chef, whatever, anyway. Fine. Alright. So, Gemara Skorsa. When we say hakol shechtin, on the one hand, we're saying anybody can chef, which seems to imply l'chatchila. The word hakol shechtin sounds like it means l'chatchila. Anybody who's kosher to chef is able to chef. On the other hand, ushchitasin ksheira diyevin. On the other hand, the word ushchitasin ksheira, now, if it was just meant to tell us that anybody can shech with the exception of a cheder shart of a cotton and whatever other ones we're going to talk about later, then it wouldn't have to say ushchitasin ksheira. Obviously, if they can shech, the shchita is kosher. Ushchitasin ksheira implies b'diyevin. You have a certain kind of person who shouldn't have shechted, but nevertheless, b'diyevin they did, and then therefore it's okay. So what does that mean? So one is b'chila, and one is b'diyevin. What does it mean? But before we get to answering that, So before we get to answering that, we have to deal with that premise. So Rav Acha Brei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, okay, so your premise is that whenever a Mishnah starts off hakol such and such, it means v'hatchila they can do it. I question your premise. V'chol hakol hatchila who? You're telling me that any time a Mishnah starts with the word hakol, it means they can do it hatchila? No, rather, I can give you an example where it means v'di'evet, and therefore you can say it means v'di'evet, anybody can check that there's shita in kosher, and then there's no contradiction. By your logic, what about Masechta Tmura, starts off, Hakol Mimirin, anybody can create a Tmura, anybody can make an animal a Tmura, you have one animal of Kodshin, and you take another animal of Kulin and stand trading this one for that. Echad HaNoshim VeEchad HaNoshim, whether men or women, what does that mean? Hakol Mimirin means Hakhila, you're allowed to be Namer. The Pasuk says, Lo Yachlis Benu V'lo Yomer Oiseh Toi Barai Rabatai. The Pasuk clearly says, you're not allowed to exchange it, you're not allowed to swap it out, good for bad, meaning a Tomim for a Baal Mum, or bad for good, a Baal Mum for a Tomim. So obviously it can't mean like a Chila, obviously there it's only B'di'evet, because if a person does it, he's over on an Issa right? And in fact, the Mishnah says that he gets Malchus. So Hakol doesn't necessarily mean like a Chila, so he also can mean B'di'evet. The answer is Hossam Kitkatani Taim. The reason why you would say, you could answer, Rav Ashi says, the reason why it says the word hakol there to begin with is because it doesn't mean hakilah. But what it is the Mishnah goes on to say over there, the Mishnah goes on to clarify what it means when it says hakol mimir. That it continues. Loisha Adam Rashoi Lahomer. The Mishnah is saying, when I'm saying Hakol Mimirin, I don't think that I mean Lachachila, you're allowed to make a Tzmura. All I mean by that is, it's not that a person is allowed to make a Tzmura. Elashim Hamer Mumer. If a person does a Tzmura, then it is Mumer. The Tzmura has been accomplished. What he did has been accomplished, even though he was over on a Mitzvah. It still had an effect. The Tzofik is high going. He's going to get Malchus. The point is, in other words, Rashi says the word hakol over there is coming to teach us again. The word hakol teaches us that there's someone who you would think could not make a tzmura and would say nevertheless he's able to. And that case would be a yosh. If you have a person designated an animal for a korban, then he died before he had a chance to be matched with it. So his son is supposed to bring the korban. So now, if the son were to take that animal and be namer it, you would think maybe it couldn't be effective because it wasn't his korban in the first place. The Mishnah, by telling us the word hakol, is telling us that he is able to do that. But not, the Mishnah continues. Because the fact is that it's not just a Yorish can do Tzmura, hakol mimirin. Anybody, meaning even a Yorish, is able to make a Tzmura. But therefore, in other words, the Mishnah clarifying, when I'm saying hakol mimirin, it usually hakol would mean a hakila. Don't think, mimirin means they're able to make a Tzmura. Don't think, you know, what the missionary is implicitly saying, don't think that I mean l'chatchila any of these people are allowed to make a tzmura. No, I mean, the fact is you're not allowed to. But all I mean, hakol mimirin, is that anybody is capable of making a tzmura, including a yerush, is capable of making a tzmura, but not that they're allowed to. So Rashi says in that case, why didn't it just start saying Hakol Shehemiru Tzmura Tzmura? Okay, because it is a very common way of the Tanoim expressing themselves, starting by using the word Hakol and then clarifying. So over here, the Mishnah started with the word Hakol, but then in order for us that we shouldn't think that it means Hakhila, then it adds Loishin, Loisha, Adam Rashoi Lahom. Okay, Tosfos has a couple of problems with Rashi's explanation. Among other things, the word timer usually means a reason. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean like Rashi is using it over here, the Mishnah is clarifying what it meant. So therefore, Tosfos explains that what it means is, Hakol Mimirin means the Mishnah has to inform us that even if he did it b'mezin, that it is a tzmura. You would think, maybe the fact that he does it b'mezin and now he's high malchus, maybe you would think that prevents what he did from having effect. How could you have, on the one hand, he's doing malchus, he's getting malchus, and on the other hand, you'd say that what he did has an effect that makes this animal have the status of a korban now. So therefore, if I say, starts off, Hakol Mimirin, and then it gives the reason. And then it gives the reason because the fact of the matter is that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to do it, and lo yachlisenu v'im homo yomim behemim behemim v'hoyu uchmerotu yakodesh. So the Torah itself is clearly telling us that even though he's over on a mitzvah and gets malchus, nevertheless the thing that he did has effect and makes the animal have the kedusha of a korban. Fine. So that's one example where we see hakol, but we see from the continuation of that Mishnah that clearly hakol does not mean lachilah. Okay, what about another one? Ella, here's another example. Hakol Ma'arichin, the Mishnah, the Masechta Erechin begins off. Anybody can declare an Erech. An Erech is the Torah tells
us. Also
again, the idea that Hakol Ma'arichin. He's saying Hakol Ma'arichin ben Erech. Anybody can declare an Erech, and anybody can be the subject of an Erech. So an erech is, in part, as the Hokosai it talks about, that you have the table over there. If a person says on himself, or a person says on somebody else, erech, or erki, or erkoi, or whatever a lie, we look up in the table. No, we look up in the table over there. What gender are they, male or female? What's their age? 30 days till 5 years is one amount. For one amount for a boy, different for a girl. From 5 years to 20, there's another one. From 20 to 60, from 60 and over, and you pay that amount to Hekdesh. Doesn't matter the person's health. Doesn't matter their physical state or whatever. Yeah. So anybody can declare an Erech, which Rashi explains based on the Gemara over there. That kol in that part means to include also a cousin who's within a year of their bar or bat mitzvah. Really,
but it can declare or be declared.
Both. Ma'arichin means to declare. Ma'arichin would be, in other words, if I were to say his Erech is on me, then it would mean I am the Ma'arich and he is the Ner. So we would look up, we'd find that he's a male over 60 years old, and we'd look in the pasuk over there, and we find that the Erech for a male over 60 years old is 15 Sloim, and that's what I'd owe Hekdesh. On the other hand, if it was the other way around, if he said, on me, Erech Koy Olai, then we would look up, I'm between 20 and 60, so the Erech is 50 Shekel. Yeah. Okay, so the point is, Rashi explains that Kol Ma'arichin comes to include that a boy or a girl within a year of their Bar Bat Mitzvah, we check to see if they know what a neder is, and that a neder is a dress session, and if so, then their neder is valid. So if a cousin of that age were to say, Erki Olai, or Erech Koy Mi Olai, then they would owe it to Hekdesh. That's the Hakol Ma'arichin includes that. Hakol Ma'arichin
have an Erech.
They would have, yeah. They're able to declare that I'm obligating myself to pay an Erech. And Ne'eroch, and that they're able to be the subject of it, would be, Rashi says, it comes to include even a mukashchid, even like somebody who has boils or some other loathsome disease or whatever. They're not worth anything as an Eved. They have no dummim. If you were to say dumb of a lie, you wouldn't have to pay anything because you can't even sell them as an Eved. But an Erech, it doesn't depend on their physical stat, on their physical state. It just depends on their gender and their age. Well, on their gender and their age, yeah. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with their physical state. Okay. So again, when we say Hakol Ma'arichin v'Ne'eroch, no doin v'Nidoin, anybody is able to make a neder of domai alai, that I'm going to give my value, which then you consider how much he would be sold as a slave for, to Hekdesh, was made plainly alai. So there's no particular chiddush in Hakol Nidoin, but since it said Hakol Nidoin, since it has to say Hakol Nidoin, which is the next one, v'Nidoin, that anybody can be the subject of a neder, because anybody has domim, and the point is, Rashi says from the Gemara over there, it means even a baby under a month old. They have no erech, because the minimum age for erechin is 30 days, but they have dumb, because they could conceivably be sold in the slave market. Mm-hmm. So anybody can be the subject.
You would figure out
how much would a person back in the day when they had slavery, how much would a person be willing to pay for a baby slave? And eventually, when the kid grows up, they'll be able to work for him. On the other hand, of course, the price is going to be low, because you don't know if they're going to make it to that age, but whatever. Okay, so the point is, the Mishnah says that they have coal. Again, are you going to tell me, Rabashi, that the word hakol means you can make a neder of an erech or a gamim? You have a pasuk in Kisese that says a chisechta linder loy of a chochet. If you don't make nedarim, you won't have averus, implying, and the converse imply, and it seems to imply, is the opposite. If you do make a neder, you're very likely to come to a ches because you may not bring it and be over on the neder. You have a positive in Kehelas that also expresses this idea. The positive is better that you should not make a neder rather than, yeah, we've learned it in Nedarim. Better that you should not make a neder rather than you should make a neder and not pay it. V'tanya, and we learn in a braisa, what does the positive mean? It means, Rameir says, Tov mizeo mizeh she'en a neder kol ikur div Rameir. Means Rameir is saying, the positive is saying like this. The best thing is not to make a neder at all. Second best is if you made a neder, pay it all. Worst of all is to make a neder and not pay it. Rabbi Yehuda, Matov Mizel Mizel, Noder Mishalom. Rabbi Yehuda says no. What the pasuk means is that Rabbi Yehuda parses the pasuk differently. Tov Asher LeTider, better that you shouldn't make a neder. Misha Tider V'Lo Tishalom, rather than that you should make a neder and not pay. But implying, Rabbi Yehuda says that making a neder and paying it is the best of all. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, best thing is make a neder and pay it. Second best is don't make a neder, and then third best, worst of all, would be to make a neder and not pay. Yeah. Okay, the point is, so according to the mayor, like a chila, you're not supposed to make nedarim. But chila of Yehuda, like ka'ama ela ba'oma harezu, and even of Yehuda is not even talking about the kind of neder where you would say harei olai. He's only talking where you say harezu, where after all, then you don't have a chayim. then you don't have a chrayah, so it's much less likely that he's going to be over on his nether. Because like this, for example, a person says harei alai, and then he designates an animal for the, to fulfill his nether. If the animal dies, he's very likely to say, well, I can't be bothered, I can't afford another animal or whatever. Mashenkin, and then he's be over on his nether. Then he'd be over on his nether. Then, on the other hand, if he said to begin with harei zu, no problem, the animal dies, okay, he falls from his nether. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's fine to do harei zu. Even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree that harei alai is a good thing. Also, Rashi says another reason is because when a person to begin with says harei zu and actually designates the animal, he's much less likely to change his mind and say, you know what, I can't be bothered, I'm going to take this animal and use it like I would a regular animal. Mashenkin, he says harei alai, he's more likely to change his mind and say, well, I didn't yet designate an animal, so it was just words, talk is cheap, and therefore, etc. But even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not a good thing to say harei alai because he may get careless and not be mekayem his nether. Now, when it comes to erchin and zorim, they are by definition you're saying harei alai. You can't very well say harei zu. You can't very well say harei zu erich because you have to say who's erich. That's the point. Harei alai erich. Harei alai erich you. Harei alai erich shofan is. That's the nether, is that I'm obligating myself to pay X amount, this person's erech to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, that's a nether, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a nether in the form of harei alai is not a good thing. By the way, the Rashba in his Chiddushim on this Masechta brings another interesting explanation why it's not so good to make a nether harei alai. He says, because the idea is, a person is likely to think then, okay, well, I did an aveira, okay, all I have to do is make a nether and bring a korban, and that's it. So I don't have to be so careful about to avoid aveira. Mashenkin, if a person knows that in general he shouldn't be making the Dorim in the first place, then it'll make him more careful to avoid Avin. Okay, Tosfos discusses over here, and we have Yaakov making a neder, we have the Jewish people making a neder, we have Yaakov in Karshish Vayeseh, that Yidah Yaakov neder lane, makes a neder over there, that Hashem is with me and helps me through all the years in Lavan's house, etc. Yonah makes a neder when he's inside the fish. You have other examples in Tanakh where people made Nedarim. Tosfos says the difference is when it's the eighth Sora, that's different. But when a person is in trouble, cases, that was the case. It was an eighth star, so therefore that's different. We're talking about over here under regular circumstances. Okay. So therefore, the bottom line is, we see from that case of Erchin, that the word Hakol does not mean Lachachila. Because, according to the mayor, definitely not, and even according to Yehuda, some kinds of Nedarim may be allowed Lachachila, but Nedarim, which Erchin and then Domim are in that category, they're not. Okay. Fine, but now the Gemara asks, okay, on the other hand, you could ask, l'chol ha'kol lav l'chatchilahu. Okay, so by your logic, what are you telling me? Every time it says ha'kol, it means b'di'evet. You're arguing in our Mishnah, it means b'di'evet in order not to have a stira. In Erechin, it means b'di'evet. In Tumura, it definitely means b'di'evet. So you're going to argue that every time it says ha'kol is always b'di'evet? No, I can find you ha'kols that are l'chatchilah. Ela, kol chayav m'suka, kol chayav m'sitis. What about? We say everybody is chayav in sukkah, which means even a cotton shein is parakli. No, hold on. We're not talking about Nedarim. The point is, if we have a Mishnah that begins hakol, that we're saying that we started off saying that it means hakhila, and therefore, so what does that mean? Hakol is hakhila shkitas and shkita means b'di'evet. So Rav Acha, Rav Rava is asking that you have cases where it means that it means b'di'evet. So why are you assuming in our Mishnah it means hakhila? Now that we established that in various places it means b'di'evet, so what are you going to assume every time it means b'di'evet? What about, for example, it says ha'kol chayav m'sukah? And there it means, by the way, that ha'kol over there means even a cotton below by mitzvah, but if he's ain't his sarach l'imah, if he's already old enough that he doesn't need his mother all the time. Women are not chayav because, right, women, ha'kol doesn't always mean everybody possible. It means everybody within a certain category. Whatever. Fine. Okay, fine. Anyway, I think women are high key say the first night, so this anyway. But I think so. But anyway, the point is, Hakol among the ones who are high, even Ketanim, or even Ketanim, even Midaraita, Ketanim are not high in Anus. But Midarabanan, once they're Anus, start a flea, as Gemara says in Sukkah, once they're old enough that they wake up in the middle of the night and don't keep calling for their mother, then they're high in Sukkah. And Hakol Chayav Mitzitzis, everybody is Chayav Mitzitzis, meaning also, as we learned in Menachos, it means even a cotton who's old enough to know how to be able to wrap himself up in a talus. So then, what do you mean? Hachinami Glav Chachila? What do you mean? Are you going to say that the Hakol there means it's not Chachila? It's not. Obviously there it means Chachila. So at least you have examples where sometimes hakol means hachila, sometimes it means b'dieved. So therefore, we're back to our, why is our Mishnah using the word hakol, which could imply hachila, and then saying, u'shkitas and kshera, which means b'dieved. Okay, the answer is that's not proof. Chayavin like kamina. Come on, we're not talking about when a Mishnah or a Braita says hakol chayavin. Obviously that means hachila. Chayavin means hachayim, and such and such.
So when
it says hakol chayavin, that's different. Obviously that. Okay, what about Elamayata? Okay, what about, I'll bring you another Mishnah. We learned in Menachas, Hakol Sunkin, everybody has to do Smicha. Okay, it says over here, Echad HaNoshim, Echad HaNoshim, but it's hard to understand that, and then on the side of it here, there's a note, on the side of it here, we said that according to one opinion, Noshim don't do Smicha, and even according to Rav Shimon, it's only Roshut. So, it could be that some copyist added it in here by mistake, whatever it is, anyway, we say over there, Hakol Sunkin, everybody does Smicha. What do you mean, Hachinami Dalava Hachila? It doesn't use the word Chayavin. It doesn't call Chayavin the Smicha. Are you implying that Hachila, everybody doesn't have to do Smicha? Vaksim, the Samach Yodev and Yirza. The Pasuk says that you should do Smicha, and the Korban will be accepted. And we learned in Menachos that even though it's true if a person does not do Smicha, the Korban is still kosher. Nevertheless, we said he left out Shiore Mitzvah. He didn't do Mitzvah Min HaMokha. So there it's Hachila, even though it doesn't say Chayavin. So there you have an example. Where Hakom is Hachila. Okay, fine. The answer is you're right. A, yes. Ika hakol lachatchila ve'ika hakol b'yes. Fine, you're right. You have places where it says hakol and it means lachatchila, anybody can do it. And you have places where it says hakol and it means b'dieved. And not everybody should be doing it in the first place, but if they did it, b'dieved is kosher. Okay. So then in that case, ela hakol d'hafa. So then the question becomes, well, in that case, what's the premise of the question? If we have hakols of both kinds, in that case, the hakol of our Mishnah, why are you, Rav Ashi, assuming that it's the hakhila, that it's not really Rav Ashi, actually, later on, Abaya and Rava discussed this, which is there before Rav Ashi, it means the stomach of the Gemara, the Chachamim in the Bishnah, throughout the generations, were asking this question, what the hakol is doing over here. Okay, so if you have the choice, why are you choosing to say that it means hachila, the tikshi lock, and then you're having a question that it conflicts with ushchitas and kshera, dilma di'evedu, just assume that here is one of the examples where it means b'di'eved, the light tikshi lock, and then you won't have a problem in the first place. And why are you looking for problems? Amalei, that Rav Ashi answers, anoshchitas and kshera. You're right, I'm not really asking on the basis of the word hakol. What I'm really asking is on the basis of the next words in the Mishnah, ushchitas and kshera. So by the way, this is Tosfos is mentioning over here, this idea that when Rav Ashi is saying, I'm having the question, it sounds like Rav Ashi is the first one to come up with the question. But no, because we see later on in the Gemara that Abaya and Rava come and give answers to the question. Abaya and Rava are a generation or two generations before Rav Ashi. So we see that Rav Ashi is not the first one to ask the question. Rav Ashi is the one. He was the sadder of the Gemara. So therefore, like he says, I have the question, meaning not I personally, but I as the representative of the Chachamim who are writing the Gemara. But the question has been asked in the Beis Medrash for generations. Right? Okay.
So
Tosfos says, here's an example, here's a proof that Rav Ashi actually was the one, the sadder of the Gemara. That's the, yeah. Okay. I mean, we know that fact from Bamasia, but here we have it as an example. So Anna means not I personally, but I as a representative of the Chachamim. Anyway, so the question really that I have, Rav Ashi is saying, the question that we really have is not so much based on the word Hakol. You're right. If it just says Hakol Shoshin, you can understand it means Zeved and have done it. The question is, in that case, if it means Zeved, why is it also saying Shchitas and Kshera? The question is, Midikatani Shchitas and Kshera Zeved. The word Shchitas and Kshera obviously means only the Zeved. But otherwise, it can't mean a Hakhila. Of course, if a person can share, their Shchita is kosher. So obviously those words themselves mean even though they shouldn't have been shechting, nevertheless the d'yevet is okay. Nikwal, one second. So shechitas and kshera itself means the d'yevet. Nikwal, the hakol l'hachilah. That itself makes me assume that the word hakol has to mean l'hachilah, which therefore I have a contradiction. The d'yevet, because if I was going to understand that it means the d'yevet, then we have a different problem. How did the d'yevet normally? Why would the Mishnah have to repeat the concept of the d'yevet twice?
As we said previously.
We said, yeah, so if we said Akol Shechtin means B'dieved, there are certain people who shouldn't be Shechting, but B'dieved, if they did, they can Shech. And B'dieved, if they did, their Shech is kosher, then that would be unnecessary. It would be duplication. So the only way to understand it without it being a duplicate is to say that one part means Hachila, one part means B'dieved. But then you have a contradiction. So what is it? What are the Hachila and what are B'dieved? But I'm actually saying that's the question that we have. We had to assume Hakol Shoshin means Hachila, because otherwise we have a needless duplication in the mission.
Is
If it means vidyevet.
And the duplication would be?
That the duplication would be that both parts mean vidyevet. They're just telling you that there are certain people who vidyevet should be shechting, and vidyevet, if they get shecht, they're shechting as kosher. Yeah. So now that we've established, now that we've clarified the question, by the way, Rashi points out, in the Mishnah in Tmura, we had a similar thing. We had a Kol Mimirin, and we had a Tmuras and Tmura, but the Mishnah didn't put those two things next to each other. So therefore, we could understand both parts of the Yad, Kol Mimirin. He was next to each other, so therefore it would be duplication here.
So the beginning is the Chapchila, and the second part.
That is the second part of the Yad. So what are we talking about? So what do we mean? So what do we mean that what is it that can be lachatchila? What is it that you have a person who you would think can't shech, but they can shech even lachatchila? And what do you have a person who shouldn't shech but be evident if they did it kosher? Amar Rav Bar Lahachi Kasami. Okay, what the Mishnah means is like this: here's the lachatchila and here's the b'di'evet. Hakol shechtin. When we say hakol shechtin, meaning even lachatchila, that means vafilu tomei b'cholin. That means even a person who's tomei is allowed to shech kolin, even the hachila. Okay, so the question is, I'm going to have others as we go along, but yeah, this is the first one. Okay, the question is, what's the chiddush? Tomei b'cholin, my lememra. What's the chiddush? So he should be able to shech kolin. What's the problem? It's not particularly a problem to make kolin tomei. Okay, you can argue there are Gemara and other places that talk about also ligrim tumah lecholin shabbat Yisrael, but that's really more because that's more when it applies to agricultural products because you need to take truma or mice and challah and whatever from them. There's no particular reason, that's the Tosfos that says that over here, there's no particular reason to assume it should apply to meat. And again, even you're going to argue a person is not allowed to make himself tumah by eating tumah food. Fine, but okay, the fact of the matter is, it's not such a problem if the meat becomes tummy. All it means is the person will have to be careful to eat it only when he's already tummy for some other reason. But there's no particular chiddush that a tummy can check colon. Well, why would the Mishnah have to tell us that? The answer is, b'cholin shenasu al taras ha-kodesh. We're not just talking about any old colon. We're talking about a person who accepted on himself the chomer, which he had in those times. There's the Gemara discusses it in Chagiga and various other places. You have a person who accepted on himself the chomer that all the chulin he eats is going to be held to the standards of Tara of Kodshim. And the reason why he would do that, Rashi says, is because this way he figures, if it happens that he has to eat a shlomim or a toida or some other korban, then he'll be used to the rules, he'll be used to the standards that he has to keep in connection with that.
So he made a neder, basically.
Not really a neder, per se. It could also be, you know, like we say in Hataras Nadarim, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? So, on Hogar Toivish, and actually Shloshe Pomim, Leit Nesi Shehev B'neder. He did it three times, and he didn't specifically say B'neder. Yeah, but it's a valid chumrah. People did it in those days. They make sure to eat the chulin al taras hakodesh, and therefore, so there's the chiddush that even there, a tameh person is. Now you would think that how could a tameh person shech and he's going to make him tameh? Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying the kasavar. Now our Mishnah is holding chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kakodesh gamu. That such chulin, they do really have the status of kodesh. So midrabanan, you really do have to be careful not to make them tameh, just as if they were actual kodeshim. But even so, in other words, the point is, with Kodshim, you have an actual Isser Daraita between the time of them. Here, was our Mishnah evidently hold, which is the Machlokas in various places in Shas, that Cholin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh have that status midrabanan. So therefore, you would think, therefore, that you should not have a Tomei person shechted them, Machachilah, because he might touch them after they were shechted and make them Tomei. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that it's okay.
Okay,
even Machachilah for him to shech them. I, what do you do to prevent him from being the tamei then? Kesad hu oisa, how should he accomplish it? Maybe sakin aruch of the shechet ba, he could bring a long knife and shech with it. Kadeshala, you give a boster, in order that he shouldn't touch the meat. So this way,
he touches the knife.
The Gemara is going to deal with that later. The Gemara is going to deal with that at the bottom of this omur and the top of the next omur. We may get to it today, we may not. We'll see. What kind of tumor does he have? You're right, there can be a case where he's the tamei the knife. We'll get to that, but wait. Right now, we're assuming, therefore, that as long as he has a long knife, such that he's not going to be able to touch the meat after he shechted it, then it's not a problem. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that a kol shechted, meaning a hachila, that a tomei is allowed to shech kol and al taras hakodesh, provided he uses a long knife. Okay. And then, however, what does it mean when the Mishnah continues, that there's a case where a person shouldn't check, a chachila, but the eved if he did it's kosher? What is that case? Also involving a tummy. That is, not in connection with cholin, but in connection with actual kodesh. Not cholin, shenasu, al-paras, but actual kodesh. So the Rabbah all explains, the next part, Ushchitasem Kshera, is referring to Kodshim. That Kodshim, unlike Cholim Shanasu Al-Paris HaKodesh, where all we need to avoid the problem is for him to shech with a long knife, with Kodshim, L'Hatchila, he should not be shechting, even with a long knife, because there you have an Issum in HaTorah to be Mekamedem. So therefore, that Rabbanan are going to make a Zera, that, as the famous expression Rashi brings, that we tell a Nazir, go around the vineyard rather than going through it. The same thing, the Chachamim will tell them, stay as much as possible away from Kodshim, even with long knives. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying, L'Hatchila, he shouldn't shech. Shema Yiga B'Bosa, because after all, he might touch the meat, and then he'd be Mekamedem on a Zeraita level. However, the Mishnah is saying, b'di'evet, if he shechs it, v'omer, and then he says afterwards, bori v'shaloi nagaiti, it's clear to me that I did not touch the meat, then shechitas is kosher, then the shechita is kosher, and the korban is kosher. But it's not so obvious. You would think, once the Chachamim made it there, then maybe it's possible. And also, actually, the truth is, it's also not so obvious, because after all, a Tomei has no business being in the Azara. In fact, Tosfos deals with Tosfos over here that deals with a couple of angles. Okay, so there's, okay, one second. Tosfos deals with a couple of angles on this issue, including, how is it physically possible for him to be standing outside the Azara and shechting with such a long knife? From the part of the Harabayis that he's able to be in until the Ezra Sithril is pretty far. If you have to go across the whole Ezra Sithril, So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One is that it might be that he became Tomei in the Beis Hamikdash, and then we're talking about that he's shechting over there. Okay, we learned in Shavuot that he's supposed to get out of there as soon as possible, but nevertheless, if on the way, let's say, whatever. Also, another possibility is maybe only on the east side of the Azorah, he's not allowed to go into the Ezra Sithril from a Takana of the Chachamim. Here, we have a chart right here. So he's not allowed to go into the, and Midaraisa is only not allowed to go into, in beyond Shar Nifiner, or past the Chel. Midrabanon, we would say, he can't even go into the Ezra Sithril. But on, at least on a Daraisa level, or even on a Darabon level, maybe he would be allowed to go from one of the other sides up to the Chel. So then fine, from here into the Azorah is not so far. He could use a knife that's long enough to reach it there. Also, Tosfos mentions maybe our Gemara is talking about not by the Mizbeach and the Mizmishash, but rather by a Bama during the time when Bamas were Mutter. Okay, so you have a few possibilities. Anyway, so you have the Chachila being a Tomei he shouldn't check, so he might end up touching it accidentally, but the Evet, if he did, and he says for a fact, I know for a fact I didn't touch it, then it's kosher. You also have a question. Tosfos deals with the question, why does he have to say Bori? Well, Tosfos actually deals with another issue later on. On the side of it, he deals with the question, why does he have to say Bori? Why do we have to ask him? Azara is a Rosh Hasharabin, and usually Suffolk Tumah Rosh Hasharabin is Tahar. Okay, Tosfos says, practically speaking, it's very hard to avoid touching the meat when you're shechting. Yes. Okay.
Bori meaning
you have to say, I know for a fact that I didn't touch it. Then the Mishnah continues, so this is still, again, Rabbi Ba'ullah's explanation of our Mishnah. So again, Hakol Shirfin means that a Tomei can shech Cholon on Paras HaKodesh. Because it's only Zirabbanon, that you can't be Metamei them, therefore not going to be Goizer, that he might accidentally touch it, we just tell him to use a long knife. Ushchitasem Kshera is a Tomei shechting Kodshim, Machachila, he shouldn't even with a long knife, because you have an Issur D'Oraisa if he touches it. But B'di'evet, if he did, he says that I know, I didn't touch it, then it's still kosher and the Korban is kosher. And then Mishnah continues, Chos mecheres shorts of a cotton, except for a cheres shorts of a cotton, that feel of a cholin greedy. Never mind cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh. Even plain old cholin, the eved nami loy, then their shchita is possible even by the eved. Shema yishu, shema yidrasu, shema yachlidu, because they might do any of the things that possible the shchita. These are three of the five things that pass the shchita. Shehiyah is interrupting in the middle of the shchita. We're going to learn about all of them in great detail in this parak and the next parak. Shehiyah is making an interruption in the middle of the shchita, during the middle of the shchita, right? Drasa is pressing down on the neck instead of cutting back and forth. And chalada is having the knife hidden, having it between the simonim, or having it under the skin or under the hair or whatever of the animal. The knife has to be exposed the whole time. So we'll learn about these and the other two. We actually have five things. Tosfos points out the other two, hagroma and ikur. You can look afterwards. You can see very obviously whether those happen. Hagroma is you shech in the wrong part of the neck, and ikur is that the simonim are torn out rather than being cut. But so those you could check. But the other three, Shehiyah, Drasa, and then, yeah, they don't leave obvious physical signs that you could afterwards check to see if he did the shchita properly. Therefore, that law, and the Mishnah said, right? If you have other people watching, then that's kosher, because then, yeah, and that's what the Mishnah continues. So that's the thing. So far, Rabbi Ula is saying like this. The Mishnah is that, the first two parts of the Mishnah, Lachatchila and B'di'eved, that the Shchita is kosher, we're talking about a Tomei. One with Chol and Shanah, so our Paras HaKodesh, and the other one with Kodesh. Then we say Cheder Shor to the cotton. Their Shchita is possible even B'di'eved, because they may have done one of these things, and we won't be able to tell afterwards. Then the question becomes, when the Mishnah continues, B'chol and Shashastu, when the Mishnah continues, if any of them Shechted, Aheya. So now we have to ask, which of these groups of people is it talking about? Is it talking only about the Cheder Shor to the cotton, or is it also talking about the Tummy? Well, Ilema Cheder Shor to the cotton, are you going to say that it's talking only about the Cheder Shor to the cotton? Well then, we just finished saying the Cheder Shor to the cotton, Allah Koi, we just finished talking about them, therefore it shouldn't use the expression B'cholan, it should say the Inshastum, it should say they Shechted, they meaning the last three people that we mentioned. El atomi l'cholin. Are you going to say it's referring back to the case of a tome shechtin cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh? Can't be. What do you mean? Im shochtu and other people are watching them in this culture. Ra'am al-chachila nami shochtu. You said before that you can shecht im l'chachila. Obviously, you don't need somebody omid or gabba to make it kosher.
So what is
the cholin referring to? The el atomi l'mukdashim. Are you talking about that it's the case where the Tomei Shechted Kodshim, where we said that? The problem with that is, what do you mean that we need to have people watching him? The butter of Isagi, all he needs to do is we ask him afterwards, did you touch the meat? And he says, I'm certain I didn't, and he said, because of the kosher. You don't need somebody Oymed or Gabov to watch to make sure that he didn't touch. So what exactly are the cases where we say that you need Achayim Oymed or Gabov? The answer is no. The answer is, the last day come on, then he's shyly. Okay, but the case could be, he's not available to ask him, he shefted, then he left, and he's not around, so we can't ask him. So therefore, if people were watching him to make sure that he didn't touch, then the Kohen is kosher. If not, again, even though the Azorah is Rosh Hashanah, it's highly likely that he touched, so it's not really together stuff, it's a near vadai. Therefore, as long as we can ask him, or as long as we can't ask him if there are people watching, then we're okay. So the B'chol and Sheshachdu is referring to four people in our Mishnah. The Tomei who Shechted Kodshim, and the Cheder Shor to the Kotten who Shechted Cholim. All of them, if there's a Cherem Oynim Agabam, then it's Kodshim. Okay. The Tomei who Shechted Kodshim, and then the Cheder Shor to the Kotten who Shechted Cholim. All of them, if you have a Cherem Royin Oysem, then we're good. So now the question is, now we've established according to one explanation, according to Rabbi Ba'ula, now we've explained our Mishnah. Now, the only thing we have left, now we have to ask, though, two other questions. Hi, Tommy B'mukdashin B'hocha Nafka. Are you telling me we're learning from over here that, over here is the place where Rebbe teaches us that the Stam Mishnah, the Stam concept, that L'chachila, Tommy shouldn't be shechting Kodshim, and the Yevit if he did it, Kosher? Mehotam Nafka, we have a different Mishnah that tells us the same thing. We learned it in Zvachim. Call up Psulim Sheshachta. We said any Psulim who shechted a korban, Shchitatim Ksheira, and the Shchita is kosher, Shashchita Ksheira, but not Vizorim Minoshim of Abadim of Atmeim, because the Shchita is kosher, whether it's Zor did it, whether women did it. Okay, Tosfos brings us an Amud Aleph as a proof against the Tilchot Eretz Yisrael thing. Whether Avadim, whether Tmeim. So why do we need our Mishnah? Exactly. That's Bilum a Kodshim. Even if it was Kodshim, even if it was high-level Kodshim Korbanis, Asham Chatzas, whatever, nevertheless, it's still Kodshim. Although Vad, Shaloi, Yusmei, and Nozim Rabasa, as long as the Tommy doesn't touch the meat. So that, why is our Mishnah having to repeat that? The answer is
a Mishnah in where?
This is a Mishnah in Zvachin. The answer is Hocha Iker. Yes, but the difference is here we're talking about the main dinim of Shchita. In Zvachim it's mentioned incidentally as part of the dinim of Korbanis. Here we're starting to talk about the main dinim of Shchita, so it's important to point it out.
Agreed, but then you would mean that the same Mishnah. Why do you have to...
No, because here we're not talking about Kodshim. The Mishnah is talking generically about both Kodshim and Kodshim, Akol Shertz and Shchitas and Kreira. Rabbi Ba'ula is explaining that it's the second that the words of Shchitas and Kreira is referring to Kodshim. But the point is, in other words, our Mishnah is specifically singling out the Tmeim that you should realize, because you have to be aware that Tmeim are allowed to shech anything, even Kodshim. Awesome. Over there, it's not really, we're not learning the main dinner there. I read a ton of sharp psulim. Once the Mishnah mentioned the various other psulim, the Zor and the Eved and so forth, Tananami Tomei, the Mukdashim. So therefore, incidentally, it also mentions the Tomei, but that's not the primary place where we're learning it. The primary place we're learning it is our Mishnah.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But why do we need to
two different Mishnahs. We should use the same Mishnah in two different
places. We don't. We have that Mishnah is telling us that call up Solim Shashatu Shkitatim Shedah, Shkitatim Shedah. Our Mishnah is phrasing it differently because our Mishnah is not only talking about Kodshim. Our Mishnah is talking about both Kodshim. Some cases of it are about Kodshim. Some cases are about Solim. And the Mishnah wanted to use a short expression that will cover everything. And therefore, yeah. Okay, so that's one answer. The Iboy Seima. Yeah. The Iboy Seima. Or another possibility, the other way around. Hossam Iker de Bekodshim. So you could argue the other way around. There is the main place because it's talking about Kodshim, and therefore it's important to end up in. So therefore it's important to know all the dinim of Shecht and Kodshim. Hacha, over here, why is it mentioning it? Just I did a ton of Tomei Becholin, because it mentioned the case of a Tomei Shecht and Cholin Altaris HaKodesh, which we wouldn't have known that from Zvachim, because we didn't talk about Cholin Altaris HaKodesh over there. So once it mentions that ton of Nami Tomei Becholin, and then it mentions also the Tomei Shecht and Kodshim, even though we, for completeness, even though we've already mentioned
Zvachim. For the purpose in this mission.
So again, either the main place is over here and Zvachim, we only mention it incidentally, or the other way around, the main place is Zvachim and here we're mentioning it all incidentally. But that's why the repetition. But now the question becomes, as you ask, Hi Tommy, did he tell me the mind? How did this person become Tommy that we're talking about, that he's able to share Chol and Shanaf, or Paris HaKodesh, or B'dieved Kodshin, with a long name, without being a Tommy? E lema did he tell me the mess? Are you going to tell me that he became Tommy mess? Can't. B'chalal cherev, Amar Nachmana. The Pasuk uses an expression in connection with Tumas Mess, B'chalal cherev, that if a person touches a person who was killed by the sword, now obviously there's no difference between a person killed by a sword or by any other means, by any other, a person died or of any other causes. So that Pasuk teaches us, cherev harehu kacholo. The sword that touches a mess has the same din as the cholo, as the dead body itself, meaning, in other words, Tumas Mess, that's able to mean the Tamei Akeli, it still has the same...
It's never been used?
It doesn't matter.
Rashi
learns that it only applies to Klein Machas. The Rambam, I think, holds that it applies more generally to Kalim, but Cherev Harei Kacholol, like this we have, a mess is an Avi Avoy Satruma, and if a Cherev touches it, the Cherev is also Avi Avoy Satruma.
But if it doesn't touch
usual, yeah, it doesn't touch it, then it's not, obviously. But the point is that it means if it became Tommy Mess in any way, touching or being in the same oil or whatever, I think there's also, I'm not sure about that, but whatever.
If it's a brand new...
It doesn't matter if it's brand new. It touched the mess, therefore it became Avi Avi Tatama. What's the problem? What does it have to do with it? Brand new or not? Okay, the point is, we know that only an avatuma is able to be metamic Kalin.
Right.
The point is, therefore, if a Kali, again, a clear climaxis, as Rashi is saying, touches a mess, the mess is avi avoy tatuma, the knife itself, the sword itself is also avi avoy tatuma, and therefore, if it touches a person, then that person becomes an avatuma. And now, what happens is, Rashi points out that's not really so relevant over here. Here it's the other way around. The person is touching the knife. But the point is, the other way around. The person is an avatuma. The meat, the person is an avatuma. An avatuma is able to be metamic kalim. Therefore, the knife, when he touches it, becomes a rishon l'truma. The knife touches the meat, it'll become a shein l'truma. So the meat is tamei regardless. So what does it matter, a long knife, a short knife, or whatever? No, it doesn't matter. The meat is still tummy. Tummy is tummy. Tummy is tummy. Chol and Shanaf, all Paris HaKodesh, have to be kept at the level of the Kodshim.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, Rashi is saying, in other words, that the Mishnah mentioned the Secher of Arei Kacholo, really that point is not so relevant to our Gemara, because it's not the point that if the knife touches the mess, it becomes an Avi Avai Zatoma. That is true, but for our purposes, what's more important to know is a person who's tummy mess is an Avatoma, and the knife that he touches becomes a Rishon Zatoma, and then it's the time of the meat. So therefore, it can't be. So how could we say that he can check with a long knife and not have a problem? And so therefore, that's the question. Avatumahu. Hold on. Avatumahu. So therefore, the person himself is an avatumah. Letamiel sakin. So he'll be metamei the knife, make it a rishon l'trumah. But also sakin tamei to labasa, and then the knife will be metamei the meat. The answer is elavi tamei the sher. No, you know what the case is. The person became tamei by a sher. Now, only an avatumah is able to be metamei kaven. A vlada tumah, meaning rishon and downward, is only able to be metamei food and drink. Therefore, an avatuma is metame anything, odam, kalim, and food and drink. So that includes any source of tuma, meaning the mess, or the cheref that touched the mess, is the thing, or a person who touched the mess is also an avatuma, or the sheref itself, or the zav himself, et cetera, all the various sources of tuma. But whatever touches them becomes a rishon, a tuma. So therefore, the person himself is only a Rishon because he touched a Sheret. The knife, he can't be metamic because a Rishon Latrumah can't be metamic knife. Therefore, so if he were to touch the meat, you'd have a problem. He's a Rishon, he makes the meat a shame.
Right.
But because he's touching the knife doesn't become Tameh, and therefore Trumah can't be transmitted to the meat. The Ebois Ema, or another possibility, says the Gemara, another possibility, another possibility that of what kind of Trumah he has, it could even be that he's Tameh Mess. Suppose the example is he didn't use a metal knife. He took, for example, a reed. Krumis shokana means the outer shell of a reed, which is a tritic clayate. It's not metabol truma at all. And he checked it to make sure there's no. He checked to make sure that it doesn't have any nicks in it, which would make it possible for shechita, as we'll learn. So he checked it, and then the shachat on, and he shechted in it. So there, we shechted it. So even if he's an avat truma, even if he's tamim mes, he can't be metamei. It's not metabol truma. Now here's where you have the question, which Tosfos discusses over here, and which we've discussed a few times in Zvachim and in Menachos. Do you need a keli in order to shech kodshin? Apparently, on the face of it, it sounds like over here, yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, over here, it sounds like rather than you don't, right? Because over here, yeah. So on the face of it, it sounds like you don't need a candy for conscience.
Right.
So Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. Maybe Tati, you don't, but maybe also it might be that it means he didn't just make sure that it has a sharp edge. He actually shaped it and made it into a candy. So we have Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda. We learned in Menachos says that clay sharp can be made out of wood. The halacha is not like him. The halacha is they can't, but this could be going according to him. So that's one possibility. Another possibility that Joseph says is maybe you don't need a keli. Maybe you don't need an actual keli for shechting korban. Okay. Anyway. So Tanya has in fact learned in a braisa, which we're going to learn later on in our parak, but kol shechtim, you're allowed to shecht with any item as long as it's sharp. Bein betzur, you doesn't have to that could be a metal knife. It can be bein betzur. You can use a sharp rock. Bein betzchukas, you can use a sharp shard of glass. Bein betkrumas shalkano, you can use a shell of a reed. All of them, as long as they have a sharp, smooth edge, then you're good. So therefore, that could be another example where the tumim mess does that, and therefore he's not metame the knife, because he's not able to be makabel truma, and therefore he's able to shef cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh, even the chachila, as long as it's a long knife, and kodshim only be dieved, because you don't want him to accidentally be over on the isur d'oraisa, but if he did, then.
Yeah. So the knife would not be tummy.
The knife itself would not become tummy from him because it's not a keli, that's makabel truma. For a wooden keli to be makabel truma, it has to be a kli kibble. It has to be a receptacle.
You're talking about a knife that has a metal in it?
No, a wooden knife we're talking about. Again, wood, reed, which is the same thing. A metal knife is going to become tummy regardless.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
that was the question.
Okay.
That's what we're saying. We started by assuming that's a metal knife. In that case, if it's a tummy mess, he's going to be tummy knife.
Right.
The answer is either we're talking about he's a tummy sheriff and uses a metal knife,
right.
Or he's a tummy mess and uses the wooden knife.
Right.
Okay. So that's it. So
tummy sheriff is not
the tummy sheriff. He's not an avatar. He's a lava tummy.
He's a
lava tummy. He's a rich on
the
tummy.
He's not the tummy.
So he's not the tummy tailor metal. Okay, so that's that. So that's Rabbi Ba'ul's explanation of our Mishnah. That the first two cases of our Mishnah are talking about Tzneim, one with Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, the other one with Kodshim, and then you have the three cases in Mishnah of the Cheder Shoyt of the Cotton, and then the Kulon, in the case of the Tomei Yoshef of Kodshim, or in the case of the Cheder Shoyt of the Cotton, as long as somebody is watching to make sure nothing went wrong, then we're okay with the other. Okay. And then we'll continue tomorrow about the Shem, we're talking about more explanations of our Mishnah. What's the Hakila, what's the B'diyad?
Yeah, but
you
don't have to
come out tomorrow. That's the point. That's what we said. Cotton, we said that if they, because they have no daf, because they might have done shihir or what have you, therefore if nobody is watching them, their shchita is possible,
yeah.
Even b'di'evet. Only if somebody is watching them would their shchita be kosher.
Who has to be watching them?
About ben daf, a double ben daf, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Not an Isha.
Maybe an Isha. I mean, an Isha herself, according to Hilchot, can't chef, but maybe she'd be kosher in order to want, maybe.
Done an aid,
I don't know. You don't necessarily need an aid for this. A defa.
She doesn't have the capacity to be.
No, she may not have the capacity. No. Okay. We're not saying you need two aid over here. This is a matter of Isser v'Heter. Aid echad nemen v'Issurin. One aid is enough when it comes to matters of Isser v'Heter. And with matters of Isser v'Heter, yes, women are just as nemen as men. You see for the fact, when it comes to Paris and Mishpacha, you see Hilchot Nidda. Who does a husband depend on? His wife.
And
to tell him whether she's Tomei or not, whether she's Tomei or Tomei.
Well,
no, but the point is, B'dikas chometz is another example. Yeah, you have a lot of examples where you have an, when it comes to itzer v'heter, women have equal nemonis with men. Yeah. Over here, okay, you have women are the minigas for them, not the shech, but the pashtun. No, right. But okay, so we're saying that women don't have the capacity to shech, and therefore the minigas develop. That doesn't necessarily mean they wouldn't be able to be the one who watches. It doesn't mean necessarily they wouldn't be able to be the one who watches the cheder shech. I don't know, actually. I didn't look that up. But,
well, okay, there's nobody a shech, and they need it.
If they need, then yes.
They'll have to leave.
Maybe. Okay. All right.